So, we're going to look at our Venka. We're going to look at our second class of techniques, OFDM, and then again discuss how it's used with MIMO. Okay, and it is one of the more common transmission techniques. Okay. So OFDM refers to orthogonal frequency division multiplexing. And it's a multi-carrier modulation technique. And so, in the first instance, we're looking at dividing a high symbol rate stream into multiple lower rate streams, each of which is going to be sent on a separate carrier frequency. Okay. And so the bottom line again of why that's a good idea is that lower bit rate streams are going to be less susceptible to inter-symbol interference and other sort of issues. So, as an idea, again, that's straightforward enough. Again, the thing to note is that we're having to send along these different, essentially, channels, so one channel per stream. And so the second part of the OFDM puzzle is going to be how do you pack those channels in neatly and efficiently so you can get a fair few of them. Okay. And the answer is that OFDM eliminates the need for non-overlapping channels by selecting subcarriers that are orthogonal to each other over the duration of the bit. Okay. And so essentially what's happening is that when one carrier is reaching peak, all of the other carriers are reaching zero. Okay. So we can pack lots of these carriers in, they become with little interference. Okay. And so just to see how that is working, what we want to do is consider a pulse. And so they're transmitting a pulse we can look at the pulse in the signal domain and you get a sync function. And again, the pulse has a duration of 2t, then the zeros are from I over t. So, what we need to do in order to create these non-interfering channels is we are going to shift specifically by an amount of pi over t. Okay. and that corresponds to carrier frequencies of N over 2. Okay, and so again, these signals are orthogonal in the sense that if you send along a specific subcarrier, then you are able to recover your signal. So the signal is going to be some function of frequency elements, but what we see is that we can extract, which is multiple signals and only different channels will have these different frequency elements, but we can extract given elements. Okay, so recover each individual one. That's as needed. Okay. So, this is more sort of just to note. OFDMs can be implemented using discrete fast transforms, since there's a limited number, there's a finite number of Fourier coefficients, and therefore we can generate the signal and extract it using fast Fourier transforms. What's good about this is that can be implemented in hardware. Okay, so it's again, relatively straightforward to produce and extract your signals. Okay. Like CDMA, this technique is not completely immune to our small-scale fading effects, not even small scale, but large scale. So it is sensitive to delay. And so typically what we're going to have to do is increase the transmission duration of the symbol to increase the coherence time to ensure that we're able to receive the, sort of all the copies of the symbol within the duration. Okay. In order to do this, you add a cyclic prefix, or you just again extend the duration of the symbol. So, just to run some numbers on that, we have 1,000 tone systems, 1,000 different carriers, and a single stream of 1 megabit per second. So that's going to be a 1 microsecond bit duration. Then these are converted into 100 kilobit per second data streams. Okay, so 1,000 data streams. Okay, and so we add time to our symbol duration. And then we avoid interference if our multi-hat spreading is less than discovered time. Okay. And using those numbers, the guard time is around 37.5 kilometers. Okay, so you are reducing the efficiency of your system somewhat by doing that, but you need to do it. Similarly, as you might expect, OFDM is going to suffer from Doppler effects, so we're cleverly choosing our frequencies, so if they're appearing shifted, then that's problematic. Okay, and in order to combat that, again, we're going to have to increase the subcarrier space in a bit. Okay. And so, as an example, this LTE can have relatively high speeds specified for the operation. The maximum carrier frequency. Given that speed and frequency, you can calculate the Doppler shift. And the subcarrier spacing, 15 kHz, has been chosen so that the Doppler shift is 7% of the subcarrier spacing. So again, you're trying to keep it relatively small. Okay, so we can ask the same question we asked for spread spectrums. That's great, but we've improved the transmission of a single signal by spreading the bandwidth over which the signal is sent. And so how then are we going to share out among users, if we decrease the number of users that we're allowing into the system? And the answer is that, you know, we can essentially apply the same ideas we applied with CDMA. We've defined essentially a bunch of subchannels, right? And in some ways, it's even more straightforward than CDMA. OFDM is a bunch of subchannels. If we devote them all to a single user, then great, that user gets really good quality. But there's no reason that we can't split them out amongst multiple users. Okay. So OFDMA, or quantum frequency division multiple access, refers to this idea of allowing different users to share the subchannels. Okay, so obviously there's going to be some rate implications to that. And but as a plus, again, these users are going to possibly have different channel characteristics, so they're going to be standing in different places relative to say a base station. And so if you're clever, you can allocate the resources so everybody's getting their best subchannels or better subchannels. Okay. And so you can try and, for any individual user, you can try and avoid subchannels where they're not going to receive a good signal.
Okay, so, one, so we're going to look at an example of LTE. So again, 4G, 3.5G, we call it 4G technique. One characteristic of anything where there's an access point is that there's an asymmetry between senders and receivers, or between, I should say, between the base station and the mobile user. Okay. So typically, different policies apply for the user sending to the base station or the uplink, and the downlink, the base station sending to the user. And this typically has to do with the fact that everybody's sending to the base station, and also what the individual users are aware of, which is their own personal situation versus the base station, who has a global view of usually the users in the system. Okay. Anyway, on the downlink, so sending from the base station to the users, LTE will use OFDM combined with some modulation scheme. And again, the modulation scheme is going to have to do with how close the user is to the base station, how good a signal can be sent. Okay. Signaling elements are contained in resource blocks, which consists of a frequency and a time element. Okay. And so the base station will transmit on these time slots, and then along a certain number of sub-carriers. Any individual slot consists of a number, so one time plus a number 7 of the M signals. Okay, and so then you can either the transmitter, the base station in this case, can allocate any number of these blocks to an individual user. Okay, and how many blocks are allocated is going to depend on some sort of quality of service negotiations. Okay, now on the reverse direction, so a mobile sending to an access point, an end user sending to an access point, the issue there is that the end user doesn't get to decide which resources. It's still a prerogative of the access point. And so, in that case, the users are allocated again an OFDM channel and time slot, but it's done in a pre-coded fashion, so they're told in advance where along what channel to send their data. Again, the base station, who is sort of, again, controlling all of this, is going to try to optimize the quality of the link for the user. So the advantages of OFDM, it's, you know, when used to send a signal, a single signal, then it is a spread spectrum technique, and it's very good at combating various small scale fading effects. That advantage is lessened as the channels are shared among multiple users. Okay, so you can think if you start off having 16 channels, then if you again lose a portion, you've still got a lot, but if that drops to 8 channels, then you're again losing one portion is more serious. Okay. Inter-symbol interference is more easily dealt with, OFDM than CDMA. OFDM provides a higher level of spectral efficiency than CDMA, and it's relatively insensible into delay shifts. Okay, having said that, it is more complicated to create the signals. Now, the final sort of advantage of OFDM versus CDMA is that it works quite well with our MIMO techniques. Multiple input, multiple output techniques. Okay. Meant to take that slide out, but so you can read it sometime. Okay. So, what MIMO refers to multiple input, multiple output, and it relies on the use of multiple antennas at sender and receiver in order, and additionally the presence of multipath, in order to create subchannels within a specific spectrum. And so, essentially, if you transmit along two different antennas and receive along two different antennas, and additionally, these signals are experiencing multipath effects, then essentially, it's possible to pick out what was sent along the two different the two different transmissions by knowing the characteristic of the multipath, which again is going to be different for each transmission. Okay. MIMO works well with OFDM. Okay, and again, you can think of this idea of, we're splitting, OFDM already splits things into these little subchannels, and using MIMO, you can match the different subchannels with different path characteristics, again, to produce a good signal. So So we're not going to go into sort of technical details of what MIMO, of how MIMO works. We're just going to try and see how it's used and where it's used. And so what MIMO provides is transmission diversity. And so this is an attempt to use multiple aspects of signaling to improve the data quality. And so this, we've seen various examples of this. Time diversity, so signals can be transmitted at different times, or channel codings to provide some redundancy. Frequency diversity, so you can send along multiple channels. And then, again, what MIMO provides is space diversity. So the antennas are at different positions, which allows for different radio paths. Okay. So there's typically a couple of uses in cellular systems, and they're as you might expect. You can either try to improve your signal, and so this is your basic idea of spatial diversity. So you're sending the same data along two different paths, and then you're combining the effects at the end, okay, to try and get the best signal. Since these are different paths, and we've said that we can in some way distinguish between them, then we can also use it to increase the amount of data we've sent. Okay, so that's referred to as spatial multiplexing. We send parallel streams of data over the same channel. Okay, so the receiver then has to, again, be able to unpick the difference of multipath, the different channels that the data has been sent over. So that increases throughput, so increases the amount of data you can transmit, and obviously you can use that for a single user or possibly for multiple users. So, within cellular systems, obviously multi-user is important. So, again, you've got these channels and sub-channels, which we created using spatial diversity, that we can either assign to a single user or multiple users. And so, and again, sort of in the upward direction, the users are going to have to be able to transmit according to those pre-allocated paths, and in the downward, you can indicate to the user how the coding can be used to distinguish one user from another. Okay, so again, just to look at it. We can start off with our basic system where we have one antenna and one receiver. So this is easy. We start from an antenna and a receiver. And everything that we've discussed so far applies. So you have all the fading effects, particularly the small scale unpredictable effects. And your capacity is going to be limited by Shannon. Okay, so if you have single input, multiple outputs, so your sender still has one antenna, your receiver has several, then, well, you can only send one signal. So, at the receiver, you're using your multiple antennas to try and improve the reception of that single signal. Okay, so you take some sort of weighted combination of the sent signal, which again is arriving now along slightly different paths. Now, if the transmitter also has multiple antennas, then again we have our two possibilities. We can either improve the quality of a fixed signal, or we can try and increase the throughput. Obviously, there's some work in either distinguishing different data streams or in determining the optimal stream. Okay. So, assuming that we want to send multiple streams, we usually use a space-time coding blocks. And here we use both spatial and temporal diversity. So, different antennas are going to transmit different data at different times. So our row is going to represent the time slot, and then our columns represent the transmit antennas. And so you'll have a symbol per antenna and per time slot. The interesting thing about, again, spatial multiplexing, so sending different data along using different antennas, is that essentially we manage to split a single frequency carrier channel into multiple subchannels. Okay. And so in this case, at least in theory, we increased our capacity by however many subchannels we have. Okay. And of course, the trick is in actually being able to do this, and what we're going to need in order to do this is to know the characteristic of the path between any two, the channel characteristics of the path between any two sender-receiver antenna combinations. Okay. So again, we can think about this as a matrix where we've got a signal that we're transmitting. Obviously, if you transmit something, it's going to be received, and all of the receiving antennas, again, over a path which has some characteristics. Okay. And the characteristics for each of these paths are going to be different. We need, in order to decode everything, we're going to need to know what those characteristics are. From the receiving signal, characters 6 times the fiber transmitted signal. So, given your basic setup, obviously what you want to do is to apply the inverse matrix to extract the signal. Unfortunately, there's going to be issues in these channel characteristics that don't have noise factors, so typically you are going to use some sort of minimal mean square error to recover the signal. So as this is part of an ongoing data stream, you can use some sort of time temporal encoding as well to improve things. Okay. So once we've divided our data into subchannels, to some extent it doesn't matter whether a single user or multiple users use those channels. So you know, we can choose either method. If then having multiple users, then as much as possible, you want to choose channels, assign channels for the multiple users that for which their channel characteristics are good. Okay, and again, if we use this in conjunction of the N, we can consider the channel characteristics of our carrier frequencies and try and optimize those. Okay. So, what works depends on whether you're the end user or the base station. And so for users sending to the base station, again, they need to be given pre-allocated channels and encodings to use. And then these can be sorted out at the receiver. The downlink direction is somewhat more complicated. The transmitter now is going to have to know the channel state in order to be able to properly encode the signal in a way that the receiver can extract it. Okay. And so essentially the base station transmitter is going to encode in such a way that the interference on the channel between the transmitter and the sender will essentially block the signal, block information except the information intended for the specific receiver. Okay, so these techniques are used in both LAN and cellular systems. That assumes that the mobile only have a single antenna. So multiple users, so my MIMO could be used to distinguish between multiple users, but not needed to improve the data that takes a single user. Downlink direction. MIMO is mainly used for spatial diversity and not an increase of data rate, so it's used to improve the signal quality. Okay, so again, there's very little technical details in that. Just understand basically how they work and then that they are used in these modern systems. Okay. So the basic idea is that we're improving the quality and error resistance of a signal by spreading out the spectrum. Our first attempt at that was, spread spectrum for multiple users, CDMA. OFDM represents an improvement on CDMA. It has better spectral efficiency and works well with MIMO, and MIMO in turn allows for greater capacity over a fixed spectrum. So that's that. We're into these sorts of low-level techniques. I think next week I'm going to change pace a little bit and talk about medium access control, so local area network issues, and that's going to lead on to your assignment. So that's it for today. I will see you guys next Thursday.